Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Take your heart pills now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Buckle up.
Hope that works for you, Rich. Best I could do on short notice.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Steve.
Today's guests, Texas A&M football head coach Jimbo Fisher, QB Summit founder Jordan Palmer, Alabama offensive tackle Evan Neal, plus actor Liam Neeson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yeah, that's right. We have Jimbo Fisher and Liam Neeson on the same television show and radio show. That's how we're rolling into this Friday before the NFL Draft Week here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this three-hour simulcast here on a Friday on NBC Sports on Peacock and then NBC Sports Sirius XM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio. We're thrilled to be here also on our terrestrial radio affiliate network from coast to coast. We're thrilled also to be here on Odyssey, our podcast listeners, wherever your podcasts can be acquired. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for everything that you've missed in the first 8 years of this program and then over the next 3 hours if you're in and out of you're watching and listening. We say, how dare you? We should be you should be captivated by every word that comes out of our mouths. Good
Take
to see you over there,
you.
Chris Brockman.
Rich, what's
going
up,
on?
Man? I've got a special set of skills. Let's use them.
What is that?
Well, I was doing a Taken thing with Liam.
Oh, I will find you.
I will find you.
Good to see you over there, Jay Felly.
Hey,
how are you?
Up,
as DJ Mikey D is out of his chair once again today. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson, lighting the candle.
Hey, it's good to be seen, Rich.
Hey, man. You know who looks pretty damn great and championship quality? I would say Golden State Warriors are back.
Are they ever?
Now, you can say, where'd they go? They went out due to injury. They went out with Clay's Achilles. They went out with, Durant's Achilles. A lot of Achilles that they've been dealing with. But who, over the first week of the NBA playoffs, play-in game tournament, et cetera, so on and so forth, looks the championship part? You could say there's a team in Philadelphia that's up 3-0. You
Facts.
Could say that. Okay. You could also say the Miami Heat's up 2-0. They look good. The Celtics look good. Yeah. I would agree. They look good.
I think they look great.
Memphis, especially considering who they're beating.
Memphis Grizzlies have won 2 in a row after dropping that first one of the Timberwolves. Looked like that they were going to be down 2-1, and they went on some huge roll last night, right? How about the Dallas Mavericks doing what they're doing without Luka? They're up 2-1 on the Jazz.
Shocking.
All right, that's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. The Bucks without Middleton now for the foreseeable future. They've got a Donnybrook on their hands against the Chicago Bulls. They're in trouble, right?
Yeah, they're in trouble.
But who just looks the part? Because not only the way that they're filling it up, but the way that they're shutting it down when the game's on the line. And who's doing it with the old familiar faces who have won before? Who's doing that? I'd be your Golden State Warriors. How about 26 for Clay, 27 for Curry, and then you've got Jordan Poole. Now, I could say, what did I tell you? It's like the rest of the league has eyes and ears, too.
Yeah, you didn't discover
no,
Jordan
I,
Poole.
No, of course not. But look out is what I said at the beginning of these playoffs, that he's about to shine and show up and shine out. And he's going to be the one to tell everybody that there's trouble. Certainly if Clay is catching and shooting like he did last night in Denver. Certainly if Steph is the best player ever on a minutes restriction. Right?
Right.
In the history of minutes restrictions. He's the greatest player in the history of minute restrictions,
I
right?
didn't see the beginning of the game. Did Steph start, or did he come off
no,
the bench?
No, he's off the bench.
Again?
And he was on the old minutes restriction. And then by the end, you know, the Nuggets fans, as he is driving the lane on Jokic, who had an incredible game last night, a great finish from him last night, as he's driving the lane on him and lays it in and then puts everyone to sleep, which my kids love. They had never seen the night before, especially since it was late at night. And I'm like, guess what Steph just told you to. Night. It's time for bed.
See you later.
Night. When Curry's doing that, and then Draymond Green plays defense in the crucial moment the way that he did, and he facilitates in the way that he's facilitating. You've got Hall of Famers in Curry and Clay, and yes, Draymond, okay? And now it appears the Warriors have been bestowed upon them a new generationally talented, brilliant player. And I can say this because I saw it in college too. I know you could say it's real early. He still has to show a little bit more. We'll see what happens as the crucible of the playoffs begin to get a little tighter, because the Warriors are going to move on. Nobody's ever come back from a 3-game deficit, a 3-0 deficit like that.
I don't know how much more I really need to see. This guy did it for most of the regular season, and now he's 3-for-3 in playoff games. He was 9-of-13 last night. That is about as efficient as it gets from a perimeter player. This guy's already awesome.
And we didn't even mention Wiggins and Iguodala jamming it down like he's a rookie. I mean, they looked the part last night. They looked the part. They have some obvious matchup issues. Of course they do. Certainly if Draymond's the one who's got to guard Jokic in an end of a game like that, but he comes up with the steal.
Yeah.
And he facilitates. And the team has terrific free throw shooters. So if you put them in the bonus in the fourth quarter, they're going to close you out too, even though they did have some trouble making some free throws last night in the fourth quarter. They look championship quality, guys. Look out. If the Suns aren't full speed, and they're not, and the Bucks aren't full speed, and they're the defending champs, I'm telling you what, you got to look out for this team playing the way that they are playing, with the guys that they have, feeling the way that they do. Look out.
And the thing too is, guys, is Vegas is now agreeing with what you said all season long, really, and when the playoffs started. Warriors were 10-1 before the playoffs to win the championship. They are now the favorite at +280.
Damn. Okay. Just call me Richie Sheridan over here, man.
That is an old school reference.
I know that. Well, that was the last time I gambled.
You were getting lines at USA Today?
Yeah, I was reading my name in boldface by Rudy Martsky, being new at ESPN. Then I turned the page.
That's great.
By the way, that's the truth.
A Danny Sheridan reference.
Thank you so much, everybody. I did just do that. At least I didn't call myself the Greek.
I didn't call myself the Greek. I appreciated it.
So that's the top story in the NBA. In the NFL, look, folks, we can talk about Instagram scrubbings all we want. When it all comes down to it, if a player and a team want to be together and the team gives the player the money to stay, he's going to stay. Okay? And Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, as we know, ever since he scrubbed his Instagram accounts on the outset of the Super Bowl week, they've been at the forefront. I mean, it happened the Monday of Super Bowl week, and then the Monday or Tuesday of Combine week is when the manifesto from Kyler Murray's agent that I've kept, I'm going to keep this on my desk until Murray signs. Okay, because Murray's going to sign. He's going to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. And the latest example of showing this is Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, yesterday in his pre-draft meeting with the media, with now 1 week to go, we're now 6 days away from the NFL draft, was asked if Kyler Murray was going to be traded. And this was his answer.
There's been a lot of speculation out there, possibility of you guys trading Kyler. Can you rule that out?
Zero chance.
There you go. It wasn't the we have no intention of trading him.
No.
It wasn't the John Robinson of the Tennessee Titans talking about A.J. Brown yesterday saying, what do you say, we there is no plans to trade him or something along those lines.
Yeah. It was one of those expected to.
Yeah. No chance is what he says. No chance.
Okay.
And Kyler Murray then responded to a tweet from Ian Rappaport, my NFL media group compadre, who tweeted that out. He wrote 100%, zero chance. And then Patrick Peterson has his own. He's got his own pod. He had Chase Edmonds.
Right.
I guess it was a former Arizona Cardinal convention on his podcast.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about what's going wrong in Arizona and what's been wrong in Arizona. And the conversation was about that Kyler Murray's not going to sit around and wait for the Cardinals to put him into a position to be successful year after year. And Kyler Murray responds to the concept of him playing elsewhere. I want to win Super Bowls with the Cardinals. AZ is home. Okay, now I don't understand the whole business of not putting Kyler Murray in a position to be successful. Who the hell goes and gets DeAndre Hopkins acquired for him? And then AJ Green signed, and then Zach Ertz acquired, and James Conner, and so on and so forth. I don't understand. Position, he's been put in the position to win, and then the coach who puts the game plan together, it makes no sense. And then the general manager's like, let's go get J.J. Watt. Let's draft that Simmons kid. The team's there. That's been the problem in Arizona, is the team's there. They were the last remaining undefeated team last year. They had a two-game lead in division and blew it. The question is why do they blow it? That's been the issue, is why do they blow it? Because it's been set up to win. But the way I take it is Kyler Murray's response to all of those is that money is being shown, or the intention of showing the money is on the table. Why else?
Attitude.
Why else that signs are pointing to the magic eight ball? You know, Kyler Murray.
God, I love the magic.
Magic eight ball. Come on, give me the answer I want. Is Kyler Murray going to re-sign with the Cardinals? He just said flat out yes, kind of the same way that there was an answer no. Of course not going to be traded. Flat out yes. Not even signs pointing to yes, even though right now the 100 means signs pointing to yes that the signing is going to happen. Or he's confident it's coming. Or the money has been shown on the table with an intention of like, look, we're not going to surprise you after the draft with you trying to force this before the draft. We're not going to surprise you after the draft with such a lowball offer that you're going to hold out. That's the way I'm reading this thing. Could be wrong. Otherwise, you know, because Kyler Murray has not shied away from using all of the levers to express his displeasure, certainly on social media, which he took to yesterday many times to respond, including one to our competition, who, not surprisingly right now, is showing the tweet in response to his video right now, as predicted.
Nice.
So, again, note to star athletes. When you, and I tweeted this out, when you respond to somebody giving an opinion you don't like or you think is unfair, and you respond to that opinion, you're putting it on my radar screen. Okay, so you're widening the reach of this opinion, and the person who has this opinion is not going to sit there and go, "Huh, maybe I was wrong. Huh." Maybe I should rethink the way I come up with my opinions. Huh. Maybe I should look in the mirror. The answer is no. Jackpot.
Yeah.
Jackpot.
You should do that.
So I'm taking a look at, again, Kyler Murray indicating to all of us that this is going to get done. The general manager is like, there's no chance we're trading him. No chance he's going to get traded. They say they're going to take care of him, and I think they've already indicated at some point the method by which, or a number or amount that they're in an area code of taking care of him, and thus 100. This is my home. Otherwise, the draft's next week. Why wouldn't they be ratcheting up the pressure? Mm-hmm. Which could happen next week anyway. Because the hell going on. This is the hell going on month. Like next month, next week, he could be saying, I want out. I want to be on the trading block. But
yeah, but I think you're right. It doesn't seem like it's
I don't know. It's just weird that he would take to social media. And I know that makes the point of many out there about his immaturity level or anything like that. But he wants to stay put. And I will tell you this. If Murray goes, let's just finish up this way. If Murray goes, and I don't think it's going to happen. Murray goes, Russ is already gone. Deebo Samuel is saying he doesn't want to be back either. The Los Angeles Rams are sitting back like Red Auerbach with their hands behind their heads and a cigar all lit up. Feet on the desk. Cooper Kupp is in line for a big-time contract redoing. He's at voluntary team workouts.
Didn't he say, too, he's not going to, like, break the bank for the Rams or anything? He's just going to whatever fair.
Matthew Stafford has been re-signed at a rate that makes the Cousins contract look ridiculous or even more ridiculous than it is. Aaron Donald didn't retire. Sean McVay's not in a booth. Bobby Wagner has shown up to be behind Aaron Donald. He was here this week, and his calves are real and spectacular, as you saw on this program.
Facts. I'm doing calf raises right now.
Jalen Ramsey is there. Allen Robinson has been added. They're the defending world champs, and they're sitting back cackling because they still have draft picks that they haven't effed and that they're going to use next week. And the rest of the copycat league... The rest of the copycat league is going to try what the Rams have done, which is F all them picks and spend a bunch of money on the on free agents that they think fits. And they're not going to be as good at it as Les Snead is as good at it. And the roster isn't going to be as ready to add those players and as the Rams were ready to add those players. And those picks that they're going to F, they are going to really use, need to use, and not have. So the Rams blueprint isn't as copyable as people think. So on the bright side for Arizona Cardinals fans, I think Murray's going to get done. On the other side, though, if it doesn't and Deebo doesn't and Seattle's already out of the business of having a star quarterback for the moment. This has been a great first few weeks for the Rams, too.
Also, suddenly the AFC West has gone from hands down the best division in the NFL to now like, oh man, what's going on?
The NFC West you're talking about. The AFC West is now the hands down
best.
That's
what I mean. Right. It's just kind of flip-flopped.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jimbo Fisher is first up here on the program. We'll talk to the Texas A&M head coach 6 days before the draft. And we'll talk to him about his thoughts on the draft and the state of college football and maybe a little bit of sliced bread, which is not his favorite term, if you remember, from a couple of weeks ago. Evan Neal is the top prospect on so many people's draft boards, period. But he's probably not going to be the first overall pick in the draft. The dynamite left tackle from Alabama. He's on the program. Jordan Palmer is on the program. He is the quarterback throwing guru. And Liam Neeson's on the program, for crying out loud. Yeah,
I will find you.
Liam Neeson is on the program, and we'll tell you what he's coming on to talk about as well. You should be here on our docket as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Friday, so what's more likely? And TJ's big-ass grab bag still to come. Let's take a break so we're on time relatively for the head coach of Texas A&M football, Jimbo Fisher. When we come back, let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Jimbo Fisher here on the Rich Eisen Show, back here on our program. So have you had your spring game? Is that all done?
We had it too. We had it on April 9th. We did ours a little bit earlier.
All right. What was your pro day like then?
It was very good. We had a lot of interest. All the team. We had every team represented here. Some head coaches here, and should have quite a few number of guys that go in the draft. I'm very happy for them next week.
Let's pound a table for them. Who do you got? Who do you think is going to make a great professional, Jimbo Fisher?
I think Kenyon Green right off the bat. I think the offensive lineman. I think Kenyon has been a 3-year starter. I mean, he's a tremendous player who I just think has all the intangibles physically, but mentally and psychologically. He's an old school player. How he practices, how he works, and I think he'll go in the first round. I really do. I think he has a chance to play a long time, and he deserves it. I mean, he has been an outstanding player for us off the bat. DeMarvin Leal is another one who I think can go in the first round. If not, I think he'll definitely go in the second for sure. That depends. But he's a tackle, defensive end, 290-pound guy that can run, play, unbelievably productive for us, was a tremendous player. Basically, he started for 2.5 years. He started playing a lot in the middle of his freshman year, but both of them were 3 years and out. Both juniors that were in the same class were very highly ranked guys that I think there. Michael Clemens, a big defensive end, who I think has a chance to be, who's really moving up the boards. He's long, physical, can play on the edge, man, plays with a motor, been a tremendous guy for us. Isaiah Spiller, our tailback, 3 years, basically 1,000 yards every year, over 3,000 yards in his career, great out of the backfield, catching the ball, pass blocker, can run inside or out. Has a chance to be a really, really outstanding player in that regard. I think Aaron Hansford's a linebacker, who we moved from an offensive tight end guy to it was really an athletic kind of a push receiver tight end that's really grown into a 240-pound guy that can play inside or outside and rush, can cover athletic. Leon O'Neal is a safety who's played here for 4 years, started base for 2.5 years. It's a really good player for us. Jalen Wiedemeyer, tight end, I think is an outstanding guy that, big and long and has had 3 productive years, was a runner-up for the Mackey a couple years. So, I mean, that group right there, just from that group right there, I think you're going to get quite a few guys and have a chance to have really good pros.
Yeah, I got to tell you, out of everybody that you saw, you just mentioned, when I saw him at the combine, Isaiah Spiller looked terrific. He really did,
Yeah, he did. Isaiah looks good. He produces. He's athletic. He's a team guy. He can do all the facets and, I think can be a really good pro.
No, I mean, because you could see, I mean, how running backs and how wide receivers these days in the NFL are having more of an impact immediately. I mean, right after they come off of campus. Why would you, from your level looking at the NFL, think that that this is more of an advent these days?
Well, I think the ability up front. I think the game, because there is more athleticism and ability, and it's more in space. I think when you're talking about the guys who put their hand in the dirt, that's what I still think Kenyon, DeMarvin, and Michael will all be outstanding guys in that group. But I think just from the physical standpoint. I think, and these guys are coming out early sometimes as 20-year-old guys, and all of a sudden you're playing against a 27-year-old grown man up front. I think there's a big physical adjustment that can happen. But I think those guys will all make it very clearly. But I think the skill guys, it's more about their skill, their speed, their athleticism than it is sometimes the power, and it's all combined. But I think, and I think it's that way in college too. When you go from high school to pro, the skill guys seem to have an easier jump than the guys who put their hand in the dirt, just from the physical standpoint of the game.
Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M head football coach, here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's jump into the world of the NIL, coach, because I know you've been asked quite a bit about it. And when your recruiting class came out, there was a big hullabaloo, and you even called out a blogger, I think, for throwing out there what your school may or may not be doing on this front. What is your school's approach to NIL?
There are NILs here, but it's probably less than most schools across the board. Where there is not, the reason I was saying, they were saying it's the only reason they came, which is not true. And you can look, we have state laws, we're not allowed to do that. And plus, the results of who has them are out there. So we're way below everybody else and where they're at. And people just couldn't, in my opinion, just don't understand and appreciate how good Texas A&M is and what we're building. And it was a shock to them that we have a number one class. But we've never, since we've been here, been less than six in the country. We've always been in the top six classes in the country since we've been here. When I was at Florida State, we had multiple number one classes, and we've always been able to recruit well. And I think, you know, is NIL a part of our world? Is it a problem in recruiting? It can be. The portal, all that's going to be a problem. But people were insinuating that's the only reason we got ours. That's what I said. That was the only issue I had with that whole thing, is that is not it. And that those are facts that are on the record that you can look up.
So when you say problems, what are the problems that you can
identify?
Well, I mean,
identify? I think if people do get into trying to buy players, if trying to people that are messing with other guys' players in the portal, that it's amazing how some of these guys in the portal, the day they get out, which you're not, they can't have contact with an outside school, but the day they get out of the portal, they've already signed with another school. How does that happen? So, I mean, I think there's tampering with players. I think all those things that go on, and I think people entice with NILs and the transfer, and just like, you know, and that's the problem in college sports, is you don't want to happen. You do not want that to happen. I'm a big part, I'm a true advocate of that, 1,000%.
So you don't want what to happen? The ability to just transfer?
No, the ability to try to buy players out of the portal. And entice players to come to your school for money.
We had Mack Brown of North Carolina, your colleague at North Carolina, Jimbo, on the show a couple weeks ago. He said he's had players walk into his office with a dollar amount and say, this is what I have from another school. If you match it, I'll come here. Has that happened to you?
No, I've never had that happen. I haven't had that happen here. We've only had two transfer guys in 2 years, a left tackle and Max Johnson, the quarterback. The only two transfers we've had since this is open. And we've had a few guys leave, but not many. And then I haven't never experienced what Max said he did, or where a guy walks in and says, does that surprise me? No. Do I think that goes on? I definitely do.
So then, you know, your colleague at Clemson, Dabo Swinney, quoted on ESPN saying, quote, I think there's going to be a complete blow up and restructuring of all college athletics, especially football, and there needs to be. Do you agree with that, Jimbo Fisher?
There has to be some adjustments, and the rules have to be, because you have to have the same rules. Every state has different rules by their whatever that is, because I think, you know, most time when you make an adjustment on something, it's ready, aim, shoot. Well, everybody went ready, shoot, aim on this. And so each state started scrambling to make sure their schools were, you know, weren't left behind. And you have your rules are not the same across the board. And that can't be good for a sport that, it's like every NFL team had a different way to sign free agents or to draft or to do anything else. That wouldn't work in the NFL. So why would that work in college?
So what's the answer? I mean, who would be the body to do that, right? Because you've said it. I mean, I had Nick Saban on last week. He's similar. He's like, it seems everybody, Lane Kiffin, I've had, you know, these are your colleagues in the SEC. Everybody wants some sort of level playing field where everybody knows what can be done and what cannot be done. And who can do that, Jimbo Fisher?
That's the question, Rich. I don't know. And it's because it's in the court systems. When you get into the court systems, because now you're talking about lawsuits and what can and cannot be done, I don't know the law well enough to know that. And I think when you get to that part of it, I think that's where it really complicates kids, because do I think kids need a little stuff? Yes, they should get some. There's no doubt. But how it gets controlled, or what it is, or when it is, or why it is, I'm not smart enough to figure it out, because now you're getting into antitrust laws. Into do you have unions? Do you not have unions? I mean, I'm just listening to what people say and things we've.
No, I think you.
I don't know the answer.
I think you're on it. That is the ultimate coach. Like, if you are going to have players compensated, right? Although not supposedly for their work, supposedly for their name, image, and likeness that comes from their work. Mm-hmm. Then you need to sort of codify what the rules are, and what that would lead to players having a union. They'd have to, certainly if you're going to sign them the contracts, right? I mean, like, that's the way it would literally professionalize the sport.
I agree, that's why I don't understand, and I'm not smart enough to figure out how does that apply to each individual school by the state laws in which they're in, and, you know, is there state schools, there's private schools, so, I mean, how do you unify that? I'm not smart enough to understand or have enough law background to ever figure that out. Maybe you do, or know somebody that does.
I've got an honorary sports law degree that was never. By the way, that was never signed by the person who gave it to me. So
I'm with you. But that's a great question, Rich. I mean, I'm all for whatever. Who has that suggestion and who has the answer? I mean, and it's easy for us to all go out here and complain. It's like everything. Everybody knows what the problems are, but how to solve them. And I think it's two different things. And I think that's where we have to really get down to and quit all the bickering. All right, let's figure out what we can do and what are the laws which we can abide by.
And then I guess how much, last one for you on this subject, mm-hmm. How much are you as a head coach and at the top of the program's flow chart read into, well, this player has that deal, that player is getting this deal? Is that part of your process of knowing?
No. We in the state of Texas, a guy can't even bring a deal to us and say, hey, coach, is this a good deal or a good contract? Mm-hmm. We're not. I mean, the only time we ever know, and I don't know, I couldn't tell you the guys on our team that have them. But they have to file them
right.
with our compliance office. That's a Texas state law.
Right.
So they can have outside agents to go get them. I mean, and a lot of it has nothing to do with them. They can go get national brands. I know like Caleb Williams and some of those guys out in Southern California, they've gotten them off real estate companies. One of them is with Dr. Dre and Beats, I think. Bryce Young at Alabama has CAA represents him. He has deals all over the country. You as a coach, you have no control of that or interaction with it. And I couldn't have told you last year who had what.
But when it comes to your mindset right there, right, when it comes in front of your consciousness, what do you think when you see other kids have those deals elsewhere? What do you think?
I mean, that's more power to them. That's the rules in which they're abiding by. I mean, and they're getting, mm-hmm. you know, compensated for what they get compensated for. That's great for them, in my opinion. But I think, like I say, how do you regulate that, and how can it stand up for a long time, and where does it go? I don't know the answer to that. But I don't have a problem with our players getting compensated.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it be fair, and where does that all stop?
Okay.
And how, like you say, the biggest thing, the enticement in recruiting, the enticement in transferring and all those things, I think that's where your problems occur.
Jimbo Fisher here on the Rich Eisen Show. How do you want to fix scheduling? Do you think that needs to be fixed too in college football? More uniform, right? Like where everybody, you know, plays the same, I don't know, where everybody plays the same style.
you're where I am. I don't know either.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes. Same number of Division I games, yes. The same number of conference games,
yes.
Possibly, yes.
Right.
And I think your large conferences, I think that's going to be a problem going forward, because I think schedules can get tainted now of, you know, because you got so many teams, you get overloaded at, you know, with a strength of schedule that can happen. Mm-hmm. But, I was just having a conversation with a gentleman here a minute ago.
Yeah.
And I'm strong in this because I guess I came from small college football. As a player and as a coach, I worked up through Samford and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And like Coach Bowden, my background is very similar to Coach Bowden. That's where I'm tied to so much, is that you're not playing FCS teams. See, I think you should play one FCS team game a year. Because if not, how do they have – where is their money and budget going to come from if we all take it to the top mm-hmm. and keep all the money?
Mm-hmm.
How do those teams survive? And I'm saying for the betterment of football, because I came and had an opportunity. You're going to take large numbers of scholarships away from kids as opportunities to play and get in college and get a college, not just playing football, a chance to go play pro football, go play whatever it is, but also to get a college education. And if they go away and they can't, and they all go to non-scholarship football and all that, then you're going to see high school kids not play football because there's not opportunities to get scholarships at all the different levels of ball in which you have. And to me, we have to feed the FCS. The FBS has to feed Division II. Division II has to help field Division III as far as a financial burden that can help take it off of them. And I think it's our duty to pass that down for the betterment of the game and stay that way. I think that's one thing that I am strong. Now, the other games, that's all had Division I games, that have, you know, and then you have Do you have Power Five? Did you go all Power Five schedule, or do you have the FBS? Where do they make their money too? It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a part of the game that we all want, all the big matchups where it's, you know, Texas A&M in Alabama, Texas A&M in Florida, Texas A&M, which it doesn't bother me. But your schools that aren't in those FBS Power Five, where is their financial advantage going to come from, and how can they survive to be able to stay afloat? And I think you'll see some teams drop football if that doesn't happen. And then I think opportunities for kids, and I think it'll hurt the game of football.
If you could wave a wand, Jimbo Fisher, and have a certain number of teams part of a playoff, what number would that be?
Probably 16, 12 to 16.
I love it.
And I think you'd increase players playing, not opting out of bowl games, playing for a championship. And I think it's a different deal. I think one loss, and I love how much the season means. But some teams are, you got young teams, and especially now with the youth that is playing in athletics, everybody is so young. Maybe those guys struggle at the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden they get hot and win seven in a row, and they're going into the playoff just like the NFL. How much more exciting is that? People say it's not, the season's going to be that. I think you're going to have more teams involved, because after sometimes the midpoint of the year, there's still only six or eight teams really left for the playoff. How much exciting is that?
No question. I want to see competition, not lobbying a group of people sitting in a hotel conference room making a decision.
I agree with you. And to put it on the field, let's find out. Now you got more kids playing, you got more teams. The excitement in college football to me grows because you got more there's still a lot more teams with a chance. Now you got 25, 30, 40 teams that can still get in the playoff at the end of the season. The games matter. And then you go into a playoff, and let's find out who can play. You and those teams that develop late, just like, you know, you want to peak your team, as, and the NFL wants to peak their team as they go in, like Belichick does, how they peak them going in. Who can manage that? It's a whole different hand. And I think your TV ratings will go up. I think everything will go up.
And then, just to finish up, how would that affect the regular season, right? And I don't know if the commissioner of the SEC would want to maybe do something like that if that takes the SEC championship game out. Right?
I agree, and I think that's something that we have to work through. Where does the SEC championship game come into play? And can it be? Can that be made up in compensation through the networks or anything else? Or right. And I understand. I'm with Greg. The SEC championship game is amazing. I've played in it many times, and it's as electric as the national championship games I've played in.
Well, for some people in the SEC, they'll tell you that is the national championship game.
Well, it has been for a while.
Coach, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Let's do this more often.
Thank you for having me, buddy.
You got it. It's Jimbo Fisher, head coach of Texas A&M Aggie football. You're on the program. Okay.
16-team playoff.
See, it's difficult to square the circle of like let's play, you know, smaller level schools so we can trickle down. Like we'll pay them the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And more often than not, that means a W on his schedule,
right.
Or an ass chewing for whatever Alabama assistant gave up a touchdown in the first quarter of an eventual 62-3 win,
right.
62-7 win. Look, is that? I think we asked this of Dabo Swinney last year, and he's like, what are we going to play? Like a 17, 18-game schedule, like it's professional football? Because if you want to play your own conference schedule, and then you got to play a couple out of conference, and then you got to play your conference championship game, and then you're going to be playing 16-team would be a first-round game. So that'd be a four-game gauntlet if it's 16 teams. If it's 12, you've got four and a bye.
Right. So three games. Most.
Right. 8-4, 4-2, 2-1. So you're kind of making it a much smaller run here.
But you're still looking at 16.
Or it would be two byes. It would be two teams on a bye, and it would be, what would that be? A 12-team tournament would be, one versus.
Well, you could have the top four get byes, and
right,
then
right.
You know,
yeah, guess what it would be.
If you're a top four team, you're playing three games. But still, that's
it's still at 15, 16 games.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But if these kids are making money or something like that, you're going to start paying them. That's the way this is going, guys.
Let's do a super league. Like, put 50 teams in there and let's go.
All right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jordan Palmer is going to join us. By the way, our friend Tom Pelissero was on yesterday, had his annual quarterback piece prior to the draft drop on NFL.com. And basically what he does is he allows scouts and general managers and executives and coaches to be unnamed and just give the unvarnished opinion of these kids. And it is something.
Interesting.
Don't miss that. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. 6 days until the NFL draft. 6 days. And we'll finally get some answers. And the general sense of this quarterback class is we don't like him. That's, I think, the general sense of this. I'm serious. Like,
is that the shrug emoji?
I think that's the general sense of it.
I think you're right about that.
I'm shooting it straight.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there was a ton of quarterback movement that you're seeing.
We don't like him.
And that's the thing, too, that Baker Mayfield must be sitting at home saying, I'm sitting here, you know, next to a dog that needs a belly scratch on a podcast talking about being disrespected. And I'm sitting here and these guys with small hands and nothing going on and nothing happening. And, you know, you know, kids who hardly have played a big time college football game in their lives, they're the ones that are going to get drafted. And I'm not going to get an opportunity to start in the league. Is that really what's happening? Like, that's what he must be thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the scouts thinking? What are the general managers thinking? What are the coaches thinking? Well, my friend Tom Pelissero was on yesterday's program, 2 days ago, actually. He called in twice because the whole Deebo Samuel news broke after he hung up the phone with us. He, every year for NFL.com, speaks to all tons of executives and coaches and coordinators and scouts. He gives them the opportunity to look out to say what they feel about these players or what their evaluation is of these players behind the scenes. They get to have anonymity
off the record.
A lot of people kind of don't like this because they think that this is all lying, that they're just putting stuff chum in the water, hoping that the kid drops for their team, that they're just trying to work the game, work the refs here a little bit, or they're giving you the honest assessment. So I've chosen 5 quotes from Tom's piece about all 5 quarterbacks, and he's ranked them in terms of Tom ranked these quarterbacks in terms of the feedback that he's received from everyone. Number one on the list, atop this list, is Malik Willis. He's got Malik Willis number one on his list. And here's a quote that was said about Malik Willis, if you don't mind putting it up on the screen. This is an unnamed AFC general manager saying that Malik Willis, to me, he's the number one guy in the class. And for whatever people want to talk about in terms of readiness or all this other stuff, it was the same thing with Josh Allen. It was the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. I think people are a little short-sighted with that kid.
I think that's
an unnamed AFC general manager. Now, I saw this kid throw at the combine, and his deep ball out of his hand arcing into the Lucas Oil rafters and then dropping into the hands of his receiver about 60 yards down the field did, in fact, remind me of Josh Allen, to be very honest with you. And that's the way I feel about him as well, is there's an upside, and that's why he's number one on the list. But there are some other quotes that think otherwise about Malik Willis. Next one is Kenny Pickett. This is a great quote. Oh, my gosh. This is great. Oh, wow. From an unnamed AFC executive. Just his demeanor, coming away from center, how he handled everything. Pickett was the most impressive. He was the biggest guy, strongest stature. He just felt like a quarterback. But when your concern is the arm. There's nothing special about it. What's he going to look like when he's getting his ass effing blitzed and having to throw off platform, and he has to win with his arm only? He's mobile enough. He can move. He's not like a statue. But if you had an MF-er play right now, if you had to have one, it's Pickett. But he doesn't have any GD upside.
It sounds like Elway.
So that's somebody who's kind of like glowing about him, but also like,
yeah, what the F?
Damn, I want him to have more upside.
Yeah, but if you pick a guy to start right now, he's your guy.
Likes the toughness, the arm is like, if he's going to get his, you know what, blitzed.
Yeah, noodle arm kind of, I guess.
Next up on the hit list here,
that's funny,
is Desmond Ridder, who you know has been shooting up.
I like him. I think he's my guy.
Cincinnati, unnamed AFC executive. I want to like him more than I do. He elevated a program. He's a mobile guy. His arm's not elite. It's inconsistent as all get out, too. The accuracy and just the arm strength. But he's the one you're like, all right, maybe he's got a little something.
Well, extra. Intangible. Unmeasurable.
I think that's the general sense about him, is he's got, you know, his team went to the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And he's also, another quote was like, he's a grown-ass man, somebody said. He's got a kid. He's got a relationship. Like, he's an adult.
I think,
but you
want
to like him more than you do. And a lot of people said that about Dak as well, by the way. Okay, next up on the list is Sam Howell of North Carolina. That's what an unnamed NFC coordinator had to say about this North Carolina Tar Heel. I think he could throw it the best after Malik. I do like the way he throws the deep ball. If you look at his film from a year ago, it's a lot better than what you see from this past year, but he lost all of his players, so obviously that makes it harder on him. I just don't know what his ceiling can be. This also mirrors what his coach told us, which is like the reason why Sam Howell's not a lot higher up on people's draft boards is we lost a lot of guys. We weren't very good.
Didn't have a good year.
That's what he said. We weren't very good for him.
Yep.
Matt Corral. Let's finish up here. This one is a doozy. This one is like your unnamed special. This is your
better
anonymous special.
Better than the Pickett special. One? The Pickett one was awesome.
I don't know. This could be it. An unnamed AFC quarterback coach. Talking about Corral's tape from Ole Miss. It is Lane Kiffin gimmick S. I know the numbers and the completion percentage is high. It's a lot of bubbles and short little quick things. I can see where you could easily say mechanically and aesthetically meant, he can look really pretty throwing it. It's a nice tight spiral. He turns the ball over, and look, he's athletic, man. He gains yards running for it, but he has some accuracy issues. Even the ones that are completions are back-hipped or a little off. He's the type of player that I could put together 25 plays, and you'd be like, well, S, let's sign him. And I could put another 50 plays, and you'd say, no effing way.
Lane Kiffin gimmick S. That's great.
It's an interesting piece. I'll tell you that.
That's great.
And put it all together, and it's just like anybody's guess who can. It's who you like and who you're going to bet on, and it looks like Malik Willis going in is that guy, and if not, it's Kenny Pickett. And everyone else you might see, wait till Friday night. Maybe somebody gets into that first round and get that fifth year of contractual control. 30, I 31. Don't know, but Baker Mayfield's got to be sitting at home saying,
come on. Yeah.
Let's go. And tell Cleveland, you just eat the money. Like,
yeah, make the deal.
Make the deal. Yeah. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
And so somebody could take their question mark about one of these kids off the board and put Baker there. But then, of course, you don't get somebody younger. You don't get the contractual control. You also might not get the Baker, whatever's going on with Baker.
But if Baker's healthy, I mean, Baker's got a big arm. He's accurate.
That's the decision everybody's got to make if you're in the quarterback market for this year's draft, which I think you would prefer deep down not to be. But I do love Malik Willis a lot. Jordan Palmer is an expert on this very subject. He's coming up next on The Rich Eisen Show. How about those quotes from Pelissero's piece, huh? It's funny. You could see the reaction to it. You could see the reaction to it online. A lot of people are like, this is, you know, you're letting people spew. They don't have to put their name on it. They're all, you know.
But that's kind of the point. It's hero ball. It's a fun piece.
It's a great read.
I love it.
It is a great read. It's a great read. Because Tom speaks to everyone. He speaks, not like saying nobody else does. He speaks to everyone, and he's been taking these notes for quite some time. And I wanted to give you, you know, I could have cherry-picked positive quotes for each one of them. I picked the ones that I think leapt out at me to be the most interesting quotes for each kid. And then leave you up to your devices to figure out what you make of the entire thing. And what I make of the entire thing is nobody's really in love with anybody. There's nobody where you're like, that's surefire. But I found it interesting that somebody's like, hey, what you're saying about Malik Willis, same thing Josh Allen. Same thing Mahomes. Although Mahomes was from Texas Tech, Josh Allen, Wyoming. Willis is Liberty. I mean, Liberty played Ole Miss, and you heard Lane basically say we were pretty impressed by him and with him.
Yeah, Liberty played Syracuse and lit him up.
Well, that's your doing. Because ever since we had Dino Babers come on to wish you a happy birthday.
That was also just my way of saying that I saw him play.
Understood. No, and he looked I'm telling you, man, the way that ball flew out of his hand at the combine, it was like, whoa. It was like, wow.
An interesting note, though, about Allen and Mahomes. Just that, you know, people were saying the same things. I mean, look, Mahomes sat a whole year, and Allen has had kind of the greatest leap from year one to year two to year three, now MVP Super Bowl quarterback.
What a dream. Congratulations, Bills fans. You got him. You got your guy. And he's, you know, he's just a good dude, too.
Also, the problem is, too, with this is there's so much pressure to play these quarterbacks right away and have that success.
Well, you better
not
expect it this time around.
Right. But people are less patient than to just wait and let these guys develop and become who they eventually will be as professionals.
Well, it's going to be lit when the Packers trade into the first round and don't take a wide receiver, take one of these quarterbacks. That's going to be a great moment in the draft. Jordan Palmer and What's More Likely in your phone calls, hour two.